Good morning and welcome to Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person and those of you who are joining us online. As you can hear, the bells are chiming. It's technically 10:29, but maybe you won't mind if I go ahead and get started on the announcements. As you can tell, the pyramids have changed color. They are white today. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, which means that Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. Lent begins in just a couple of days. I will have some devotions for you after worship, if you'd like to go ahead and pick up your Lenten devotionals. Got quite a few announcements this morning. One, the annual reports are ready. If you did not get one on your way in, please go ahead and take one. Read through this over the course of the week, because next Sunday after worship, we will have our semi-annual congregational meeting where we will vote to approve these reports. I want to thank Jennifer Davis, who spent a significant amount of time helping me put this together. If you find any corrections or edits that need to be made, please let me know. And additionally, this is our first directory, maybe in a couple of years. If there are any changes that need to be made, please reach out to the office. And if somebody was accidentally left out, please know that it was not intentional at all. But if you'll let me know, we can make the changes. Starting this Thursday, we are going to be switching from a monthly newsletter to a weekly newsletter. It'll show up in your inbox every Thursday or Friday, and instead of being an attachment that you need to click on, the newsletter itself is going to be in the body of an email. It'll have links for the bulletin. It'll have all of the information for the upcoming week, the weekend. It's a lot more user-friendly, and we're hoping that since it'll be weekly instead of monthly, that it'll help you to stay connected even better to what's happening here at Holly Grove. For those of you who don't have email, we are going to print that out for you and send it to you each week. I think we know everybody who doesn't have email, but if you want to make sure that we know, please let me know. And if you don't receive the weekly news blast as it is, let me know so that we can get your emails correctly entered in our system. We are delighted, especially me, to welcome Pastor Tim Brown to be with us this morning. There's a brief biography in our bulletin, but Pastor Tim is the Director of Congregational Stewardship for the ELCA. He offered us a Sunday school time that I found very hopeful and very helpful, and he is bringing us God's Word today, so we are grateful for him being here. We've got quite a few things going on this week. I just want to lift up that Tuesday evening, we're having our Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper from 5 to 7. It's sort of a come and go, so you don't have to be here right at 5, and you don't have to stay the whole 2 hours if you don't want to. You come, enjoy pancakes, enjoy fellowship. And then our Ash Wednesday service is Wednesday evening at 6:30. Today is the third Sunday of the month, so we will take up the basket offering. It will be going to the Life Center. And we have a few prayer shawls. The first is for J.C. Morgan, who is a neighbor of James and Marie and just had some back surgery. And the other is for Wayne Hilliard. Many of you know him. He is our go-to person at Davidson Funeral Home. He is a dear friend of mine, and he had a stroke this past week. So they're still trying to determine how that is going to affect him and what his prognosis is going to be, but we want to pray for him and bless a prayer shawl for him. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that even before we utter a word to you in prayer, that you are already listening. ready to hear what we have on our hearts and our minds. Our hearts have been heavy this week for Wayne, who has endured some difficult days following his stroke. We ask that you would continue to be with him and his doctors and care providers as they determine the extent to which his body and mind has been affected, and as they make a care plan for him going forward. Be with his wife and daughter, Lisa and Maria, as they adjust to this news and as they care well for their father and husband and for themselves. We ask that you would comfort them, that you would surround them with your love and give them peace. And we lift up to you, JC, who has endured back surgery. Any surgery is difficult, but my goodness, a back surgery is going to be a long recovery. We ask that you would be with him as he recovers, that you would help him to do all that he needs to do so that he can get back to doing all of the things that he wants to have more mobility and less pain. As these two folks feel the weight of these prayer shawls upon their shoulders and their laps, may they feel the weight of our love and care for them here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll pass these around if you'd like to offer a brief prayer for those folks as you hold those prayer shawls in your hands. And last but not least, we have one birthday this week, Andy Ferguson. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I forgot, I do have one more thing. I have a card here from Robert Napolitano. I think Robert is maybe 5 weeks post-op, maybe six. But he has a few words that he would like to share with us. Dear Pastor Anna and all my Holly Grove family, I can't begin to express how much your support has meant to me during my recovery. Every get well card, text message, phone call, or visit has brought a tear to my eye on more than one occasion, which doesn't happen often to an ex-hockey player from Brooklyn. Nothing makes the heart grow stronger than love, and the love you have shown me, Kelly, Calvin, and Rachel has been nothing short of amazing. While I still have wounds to heal, all of your thoughtfulness and prayers have given me some extra strength to get back on my feet as quickly as possible. Thank you again for everything, and I look forward to seeing you soon, Robert. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates us, redeems us, and calls us by name. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and your beloved children. We have turned our faces away from your glory when it did not appear as we expected. We have rejected your word when it made us confront ourselves. We have failed to show hospitality to those you called us to welcome. Accept our repentance for the things we have done and for the things we have left undone. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, and lead us, that we may bathe in the glory of your Son born among us, and reflect your love for all creation. Amen. Rejoice in this good news. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are adopted into the household of Christ and are inheritors of eternal life. Live as freed and forgiven children of God. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. let us pray. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son. You foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ, who of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the 24th chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, and Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of God was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses went on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the first verse of St. Peter. Or 2 Peter. "For we are not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
Hear now the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain all by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared with them Moses and Elijah, and they were talking to Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed all of them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground. They were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself, and he was alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision that you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
I almost forgot that I'm doing the children's sermon. I'd like to invite all the children forward this morning. I have a little banner with me this morning. Can you read what this says? Kaylee, do you know what this says? It says, "Alleluia." Alleluia. Hi, Maddie. So we have some special days coming up in the church. This Wednesday is called Ash Wednesday, where if you come to church, I will make the sign of the cross in ashes on your forehead, and I will say, "From dust you came, and to dust you shall return." And Ash Wednesday is the first day of the season in the church that we call Lent. Lent lasts for 40 days, except for Sundays, because Sundays are always a special day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and have communion. But one of the things that we do as a church family is that during Lent, we don't say the word Alleluia. So I don't know if you've noticed, but we've already said Alleluia quite a few times in our worship service, and Alleluia means praise God. But during Lent, one of the things that we do as a church and as followers of Jesus is that we fast from certain things. And I was thinking about that word this week. Fast means the opposite of slow, right? You go very, very quickly. But in the church, we have another meaning for the word fast. And it means that we, on purpose, give something up for a little bit, or on purpose, we stop doing something for a little while. And so in the church, during those 40 days of Lent, one of the things we take a break from for those 40 days is from saying Alleluia, because we are going through a time in Lent where we are getting ready for Jesus' death and ultimately his resurrection. And so on Easter morning, as we celebrate the joy of Jesus rising from the dead, then we start saying Alleluia again. And because we're so happy that Jesus has risen from the dead, and because we're so excited to say Alleluia again, praise God, that we do it with, I think, some extra joy in our hearts. So one of the traditions in churches is on this Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, you hide. Some churches even bury it, but you hide your Alleluia banner. And so I was hoping that you guys could maybe help me find a good place to hide our Alleluia banner for Lent. And then maybe on Easter Sunday, we can remember where we hid it and pull it back out. Maybe if we walk around up here behind the altar, there might be a good place. You want to come up behind the altar with me? You want to come up here, Maddie? Or you want to stay there with your baby? Okay, you stay there with your baby. Hey, what about in one of these doors? Would that be a good place? Nora, you think if we put it here, you'll remember where it is on Easter? Okay. Okay, let's go sit back down and we can pray. So we're actually going to say Alleluia a few more times in this service. In fact, our sending hymn has lots of Alleluias in it, so we can say it quite a few more times before we pause for 40 days. But thank you for helping me hide that Alleluia. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Help us as we go into Lent to fast or to take a break from saying Alleluia. Help our hearts and our minds and our bodies prepare for your death and your resurrection. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Good to be here with you at Holly Grove. Thank you, Pastor Anna, for inviting me today. Really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I'm going to introduce myself a little bit more in a second, but we're going to just invite you to a brief prayer if you pray with me. And no need to repeat after. Holy One, dazzle us today. Give us something to cling to in those wilderness times of our lives. Amen. So greetings, beloved. My name is Pastor Tim Brown. I am the Director of Congregational Stewardship for the ELCA. And you said, well, I didn't even know we had one of those. Well, it's a brand new position, so that's why you didn't know. I've been serving this role for about a year, and I bring you greetings from the Presiding Bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, and everyone in Chicago. One of the stipulations I made when I took this position was that I was not moving back to Chicago. I live up the road in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was a senior pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church there. And prior to that, I was a pastor in Chicago, in the city, and enjoyed my time there, but did not enjoy the weather. And so we moved down to Raleigh about 6 years ago, and then I took the position here at Churchwide, and I said, I'll do this if you let me work remotely, and they graciously did. So one of the things that I do is I go around to congregations throughout the ELCA, but then also at the request of Bishop Smith here in the North Carolina Synod, and I talk to folks about stewardship, and I create and curate resources that help congregations and synods fuel their ministry. And it's really grateful, I'm really grateful to be here with you today, and I promise this sermon is not going to be about stewardship. Because one of the other stipulations I make is, look, I preach on the gospel, I don't preach on stewardship. Now, they often come together, but I preach on the gospel. I just want to tell you one thing that happens, though. Whenever congregations give to Lutheran Disaster Response or Lutheran Disaster Relief, I'm involved in that. Lutheran World Hunger, that's part of what I do. And in the most recent tragedy in Turkey and Syria, we raised over $300,000 in 25 hours. And you helped make that happen. Thank you for that. And we work with partners on the ground in Turkey and in Syria. And these partners are mostly in the Orthodox tradition, which is why we have good relationships with the churches around the world, so that they can get on the ground and do their work, because especially Syria, but also parts of Turkey, don't allow us to come in and help directly, and so we have to funnel it through other means and other avenues, and that's why we keep those good relationships. My point is, though, you make that happen. What you give in that offering plate saves lives, and thank you for that, and thank you for your work there. All right, hi-ho, hi-ho, off to the gospel we go. Ready? This is one of my favorite Sundays because it leads into one of my favorite church years. So I have two favorite church years. One is Lent, or church seasons in the church year, I said. One is Lent, and we're about to head into that. Does anybody want to know what the other one is? Or anybody guess? What's the other one? Well, I didn't understand any of that. You got to speak louder than that, folks. Advent, I think I heard somebody say, right in the back corner. Very good. Yeah, Advent's my other favorite one. Good job. Advent and Lent, these are my two favorite parts of the church year, and I am always looking for churches to preach at during Advent and Lent. And the reason that Advent and Lent are my two favorite parts of the church year is because they're kind of similar, but just a little bit different. See, Advent to me is like an angsty teenager, all right? Because Advent is just waiting and impatiently waiting and lighting a candle and hoping it comes because Christmas is on its way, right? Advent is an angsty teenager. Anybody want to guess what Lent is? Lent's a midlife crisis. That's what Lent is. Lent is a midlife crisis. What do you do during a midlife crisis? Somebody tell me. You got to shout it out, though. Y'all didn't know this. I'm a participating pastor, right? So y'all got to participate. What do you do in a midlife crisis? Anybody? You buy a convertible. Yes, sports car. Absolutely. What else? Yes, got to be red. Look at my red truck out there. You wondered who that was? Okay, there you go, right? Not going to say I bought that when I turned 40, but I bought that when I turned 40. Anybody else have a... What do you do during a midlife crisis? You eat lots of food, right? And you eat good food. And you eat large quantities of it. Anybody else? Go on vacation, right? Take that big trip. Change jobs. Anybody change jobs, decide you want to do something else in the middle of life? One of the other things that I hope we do, though, at midlife crisis times in our lives is we think deeply about who we are and what we're doing. We think deeply about who we are and what we are doing. And Lent, to me, is the time when we as Christians, but then also we as a church, can think deeply about who we are and what we're doing. Who Holly Grove is. What are y'all doing? And we're almost to Lent, but not quite. In fact, today we get to do something that I really enjoy doing, and we do it just before Ash Wednesday. We get to play a little dress-up, right? We have the scene where Jesus stands on top of the mountain, and he plays dress-up. He gets in dazzling white clothes, and it blinds everybody. Y'all who come on Tuesday night, I hope you wear some masks. We play a little dress-up, right? By the way, does anybody know why that happens on Shrove Tuesday, why folks dress up on Shrove Tuesday? In the ancient Roman church, they used to have this thing that on Shrove Tuesday, everybody gets a pass, no matter what sins you had committed, because Ash Wednesday, you were going to confess them all, and so even criminals could dress up and hit the streets without getting arrested, because they were dressing up. Everybody got a pass. We play a little dress-up today. Now, I am quite familiar with dress-up. I have two little boys, Finley, who's now 9, and Alistair, who's now 8. But especially when they were younger, they loved dress-up. So we have Captain America costumes, and we have Buzz Lightyear costumes, and we have pirates, and we have ninjas. And even as we speak, they are still flung across the toy room because God knows we can't throw anything away, right? Now, my youngest, Alistair, really also loves science, and so when he was little, he asked to have a nurse's kit, so he has a nurse's kit as well, complete with stethoscope and fake band-aids, and I can't tell you how many fake examinations I have lived through. They have been many. But before he could start any examination, he had to do this one thing that he saw was key. He thought this was critical. He had to first put on the name tag that came with the nurse's kit that identified him as Nurse Alistair. Nurse Alistair needed to be identified as that before he could do any sort of examination. And here's the thing, beloved. Transfiguration Sunday is where Jesus does some self-identification before we have to do the self-examination of Lent. Jesus puts on the sparkling clothes so we know who he is before we head down through the wilderness time of Lent, where we decide to figure out who we are and what we're doing, our little midlife crisis. What do you cling to when you're going through a tough time? What is it? What do you hold on to while you're walking through really tough midlife crises? And they can happen at any time in life. See, I kind of have this issue. I have this issue, and I'm going to be really vulnerable with you for a second here. I've had many midlife crises. Not all of them have resulted in a red truck, but many of them have resulted in me making a left turn or a right turn in life. And I have found out that I have an issue with, well, with the word awesome. I have an issue with the word awesome because it is so commonly used these days. And I don't know, maybe it's always been like this, but the philosophy major in me kind of likes things to mean what they mean, right? And this word awesome doesn't mean really good, and it doesn't mean I like it. What does the word awesome mean? Does anybody know? It means literally worthy of awe. And my problem is that the other day I heard somebody say, this burrito is awesome. Now, I've had great burritos. I've had burritos I dreamed about the next day. That tells you a little something about me. But I have never, ever had a burrito that is worthy of awe. I have not. I'm not saying there's not conceivably one out there. I'm just saying it's not probable to me. And when I'm going through life, I need to know what's awesome, what's worthy of awe, so that when I'm having trouble, I can cling to that. And a burrito ain't it. Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton is right. The world is full of wonder, but we lack the imagination to see it. But we also need to be able to tell what a thing is. And the world will tell us to cling to all sorts of things and call it awesome when we're going through really tough times. They will tell you to cling to your pocketbook. They will tell you to cling to power and fame and fortune. They will tell you to cling to the past. They will tell you to cling to all these sorts of things when you're going through a tough time, when you're going through the Lent of life. But I tell you, folks, you cannot cling to those things. You have to cling to the one thing that is worthy of awe. And that's why we get Jesus transfigured before we head through Lent, so we can know what's worth clinging to in the tough times. And Lent takes a little while. It takes at least 40 days, sometimes longer. And by the way, they don't tell you this either, but resurrection takes a little while too. It takes at least 3 days, but often longer. And it takes vulnerability, and it takes a measured temper to examine yourself and figure out what you're about. It takes a while to figure out what this church is about post-pandemic. It's going to take a while for us to figure out what Holly Grove as a community is doing post-pandemic. It's going to take a little while, and so you're going to need to know what to cling to, beloved, and I'm going to tell you, it's not a burrito. We need something truly awesome to hold on to in times like this. And this transfiguration of Jesus before us today, this awesome identity check that Jesus does before we do the self-examination, that's the thing you hold on to, beloved. Here in this moment on this mountain, Jesus stands between the ultimate lawgiver Moses and the ultimate prophet Elijah, and he stands as a dazzling bridge between the two, as this dazzling, awesome sign that in Jesus the laws are complete and cannot judge us anymore, and the prophecies are fulfilled, and we need not look for another one, and that God thinks enough of us to stand with us in this life, even in the lengths of life, even in the tough times, even in the times where we don't know what we're doing, even in the wilderness, even in the midlife crisis. That, beloved, that Jesus that God in Jesus is standing with us in that time is awesome, in the fullest sense of the word. Because Lent does not just come one time a year in the church calendar. It can come at any time for you. Wilderness times of life happen all the time, sometimes when you least expect it. Like when you, as my good friend did just yesterday, get the biopsy back and it's cancer. And he's 37 and has two kids. Or like, as my colleague did just on Friday, received the pink slip. And she has two kids and doesn't know what to do. Like when the marriage is crumbling, or the relationship is fraying, or when dementia is becoming more apparent and your body is giving out. These are Lent times in life where you have to re-examine who you are and what you're doing. In the wilderness of chemo treatment chairs, or staring at pregnancy tests and wondering why they are never positive, or wondering why it's positive and you didn't need it to be or want it to be. Or when wars rage in the Ukraine, or when wars rage in your bedroom. Or mass shootings tear up our schools, or our school-age kids tear up our hearts. When depression whispers lies in our ears at night, these are Lenten moments. These are wilderness moments when we're cleaning our spiritual homes and we have to take stock of where we are and how we get here and how we're going to get out. And in these Lenten moments, we need a Jesus that can blind us with grace that is more awesome and overwhelming than the things that we are experiencing. We need something to hold on to in these moments, and a God who can dazzle us in this Jesus whose identity is revealed and confirmed and celebrated today, even in the tough times, especially in the tough times, is exactly that. That's the thing you hold on to, and that, beloved, is awesome. Speaking of A words, that's a dangerous phrase. Today we bury the Alleluia. Now, my church in Chicago, we had a wonderful woman who used to make our Alleluia banners every year. And one year we unfurled it and we asked the kids, they come up for the children's sermon, and says, "What does this say?" And one kid scratched his head and says, "Alleluia," because she had put the L in the wrong place. And today we bury the Alleluia. Does anybody know what Alleluia means? What's the definition of Alleluia? We just did definition of awesome. Anybody know Alleluia definition? It doesn't have one. It's a nonsense word. It's a made-up word. It's like boop, beep. It doesn't mean anything in particular. It's this word invented to express something that is truly worthy of awe and otherwise indefinable, undefinable, ineffable. It's sometimes spelled with an A, that's the Greek form. It's sometimes spelled with an H, that's the Hebrew form. By the way, you just learned something, write that down. If you ever wondered why we spelled it different ways. But Alleluia, Hallelujah, however you want to say it, it really has no definition. It's the thing we say when we are overcome by awe. And today we bury it. We bury it to deny ourselves saying it for the sake of entering deeply into Lent, this time where we examine ourselves and we examine our church and we examine our lives and what we're about. But for those of us who are already in the Lents of our lives, already on the shadowy roads of uncertainty, we're going to do something else today. We're going to say the Alleluia so much today that we will have the memory on the tip of our tongues to get us through those hard times. Now, I usually sing this part, but I want to know if you'll sing with me. Well, I'm getting some looks. I'm going to invite you to sing with me. We're going to try this. Choir, we're going to try this, okay? It's real easy. We're just going to sing Alleluia a couple times. And we're going to sing it because it's going to get us through the tough times of Lent. And you're going to remember this from now on because you're like, that pastor came and made us sing when we didn't want to. Yes, here we go. You'll remember this to get you through those tough times, whether it's Lent in 2023 or if it's the Lent of your cancer diagnosis or the Lent of your divorce or the Lent of whatever. You're going to cling to it because the Jesus who dazzles us today is the one worth clinging to, and hallelujah is the way we express how awesome that is. And so we're going to sing it. It's real simple, and if you pick it up on the piano, go for it, and if you don't, no worries, it's all right. It's real simple. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Now keep singing. Alleluia. I'm going to start talking. Keep singing. Keep going. There we go. A little louder. Gracious God, keep going. As we give up our alleluias today, we rest in your peace. As we walk the road to Calvary, we rest in your peace. Because this is what we are about. We plant seeds that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in that. This enables us to do something and to do it well with whatever time we have left, Lord. We may never see the results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, pilgrims, wanderers, not master builders. You are the master builder. We are ministers, not messiahs. You are the Messiah. We are prophets of a future, not our own. So as we enter into Lent, Lord, into your hands we commend our spirits, for you have redeemed us. Keep us as the apple of your eye. Hide us under the shadow of your wings. In this time forevermore. Amen. Alleluia. Now, no matter what kind of Lent you're entering into, whether it's 2023, or whatever it is, I hope you remember that, and you remember that the dazzling Jesus we hear about today is the one you cling to, and that's pretty awesome. Amen. Thank you.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the
heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He will ascend into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Embolden your church as its witnesses to the majesty and mercy of your Son. Equip lay preachers, deacons, and pastors. Move us to share our stories of your faithfulness and forgiveness. May our lives proclaim your greatness. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Dwell with your whole creation, from the tallest mountain peaks to the deepest valleys. Bless the work of conservation organizations and protect vital habitats. Support the work of disaster relief agencies around the world, especially in Turkey and Syria. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Guide and give wisdom to all in authority, our mayor and local leaders, our governor and state legislatures, our president and national legislatures. Bring freedom and justice to all nations. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Give shelter to those lacking safe homes. Spur communities to work for fair housing for all. Protect our neighbors whose dwellings do not keep out dangerous cold or heat. Accompany with your touch those who are homebound, sick, or isolated, especially Dean, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Carolyn, Nancy, John, Karen, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, make us eager to receive your word in Scripture. Help us recognize Jesus' voice in the needs of our neighbors. Make us confident to follow the way of the cross. Merciful God,
receive our
thanksgiving for the holy ones who have guided us in faithfulness and gathered even the unlikely as your people. With our forebears in faith and all who have hope in you, teach us to wait with courage until the promised day comes. Merciful God,
into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
God of all creation, you have made is good, and your love endures forever.
You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to God's table. There is enough for all, and a place for you.
Thank you.
please stand for the table blessing? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thanks be to God.